There is a lot of weird Barbie history, but my favorite might be what happened to Teen Talk Barbies in 1993.
Hi, I'm Teen Talk Barbie, the spokes doll for the BLO.
An artist and activist group called the Barbie Liberation Organization bought a bunch of Teen Talk Barbies and talking G.I. Joe dolls.
To open Barbie, insert a screwdriver firmly into the joint at the base of the spine.
They performed these surgeries on the dolls to switch their voice boxes.
Dead men tell no tales.
You look terrific!
Then BLO members repackaged the dolls and put them back on store shelves so people would buy them for kids just in time for Christmas.
We've turned against our creators because they use us to brainwash kids.
The operation, along with their amazingly strange videos, were enough to create a lot of media hype.
Is nothing sacred? If protesters can tamper with the voices of children's icons, what can be next?
Want to go shopping?
Good afternoon from Greene County, New York. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer. It's a little past noon on Tuesday afternoon. Planet Waves is off this week, but I am filling in with a star cast or two. It's very different from writing, and I do not have to bother the copy team, which is currently editing the readings that I produced in the Inner Light series. So we're all laying back a little bit. I began with the little news report about the Barbie Liberation Organization, one of my favorite pranks. And what got me to look up that news report was that the AI group at Planet Waves has been discussing today AI toys for children, for holiday gifts. And there is a corresponding bit in the astrology that describes in rather bold relief the suspension of morals and ethics. It's difficult to see this. Usually, morals and ethics are modeled, and now we don't really have very many well-known, let's say, public models of ethics. Ethics, I think, if you look up the words, they're kind of the same. But if in my usage, the inflection of ethics is more asking the question, is this right or wrong? And morality is more of the imposition of external social and moral codes onto people that don't involve their actually asking. And I think that it's all kind of been tossed. The internal barometer is not working too good right now. And in 1993... this group of people, which ends up becoming, well, one of the Yes Men, Mike Bonanno. Perhaps you remember some of my coverage of the Yes Men in the late 2000s, early 2010s, switched the voice boxes, the little voice chips in Barbies and G.I. Joes. And so you end up with G.I. Joe saying things like, you want to go shopping, and you end up with Barbie saying things like, vengeance is mine. And this really broke the surface of the news. People actually cared about this. And it was only 1993, but what's interesting, it was before most people had ever heard the word internet. Internet starts to become a thing more in 1994, 95, it gets on Time Magazine. So digital is happening, but people don't really know what this is about. There's not computers in every home and all this stuff. Now, there are toys being given to children that connect directly to large language models. LLMs, ChatGPT, Grok, and so forth. And they're being given to children who will use them unsupervised and who are more adept at digital technology than their hapless parents, because they have just grown up in this sandbox. They know how to do stuff intuitively, instinctively. And so the guy at the end of that audio clip, which is really a video clip, which I'll link, says, switching the voices in iconic children's toys. What's next? Well, what's next? Skip ahead a little bit. Turns out to be plugging them into a large language model type of system that has a history of encouraging teenagers to commit suicide. And I think that the lack of any vocal response to this, much less a coordinated response, parents' rights groups, the AARP, or anybody really kind of making a point that this is not good, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. I mean, it's a little on the level, and I'll tell you what I think the astrology of this is. It involves the family Hunger Game. I mean, imagine that you're giving your kid who's a new driver a GPS. Now, all the phones have them. So not that long ago, you had to buy a GPS and put it in the car. And it was usually called a Garmin or some such thing. And it was a separate thing. It was, you know, expensive. And you'd give it to them. Imagine if one time out of 1,000, the device told someone driving, following its instructions, to go somewhere knowingly dangerous, like to drive over a bridge that only half of it was there. That's not usually the case, but imagine there was a bridge that was only half there, and then this thing said to drive over it, and several young drivers drove off the bridge. Just a couple, just maybe four. Would anyone buy that? Would anyone buy that? I remember Click Clack toys. Remember that they were these little glass globes? My dad got them for me. They were really cool. You go, you learned how to do it, and you could click them. Well, turns out Consumer Product Safety Commission hadn't really looked these over too good, and they could shatter. They were made of glass, and they were getting this impact. And the minute that my dad read in the paper, or saw on TV, whatever it was, they were gone. And I had no regrets. It was like, this is dangerous. These can explode and blind you. They can, well, what's up? What's up? We know the issues with these things. And now, these toys are being manufactured in the millions, connected to LLMs, where the guardrails don't work, and it's not transparent which version of the LLM. You don't know if you're getting ChatGPT 4.5 or 5, and you don't know which Grok you're getting, this little mini Grok computer called Curio Grok. All right. So the amorality factor, which I've been describing, now more than a year and a half, involves this little thing with a 250-year orbit, kind of in the realm of Pluto, called Ixion. I won't get into the mythology, but it involves the suspension of, not even the suspension, it is an amoral psychic framework where there is no difference between right and wrong. The question doesn't even come up. The concepts don't exist. It's just whatever anyone does is what they do. I think that this is pretty much where society has arrived. The questions are not asked. It can seem stupid to ask them. We got a lot of everybody's doing it. Why can't we? So the first aspect pattern, I want to talk about four today. I don't know how long I'm going to go on. you are invited to a hangout for a few minutes. I'm going to talk about four patterns. The first one is Mars getting into the Family Hunger Game. Family Hunger Game is a four-point minor planet pattern that includes Ixion. That's a real thing out there by Pluto. Second involves Pholus. That's it's an important discovery. 1992, it's a centaur with approximately, there's so many of these planets. The orbit's around 75 years. It is about family generational patterns. Then there is Quaoar. That's out a little bit past Pluto. That, too, is about family and multi-generational patterns. Then there is this thing, which doesn't really exist, but it's in the chart. It's called Cupido, and that is about a point of gathering. What's the point of gathering? That's the question. What is the point of gathering? So Mars is going to be moving through this cluster. It's in it right now. As of now, Mars is sitting there, conjunct Ixion. That's the amorality factor, and it is moving in. And so this, I think, is cautionary when getting together with family, because most people are triggered by their family. It's not usually very Norman Rockwell. It's a little more Norman Lear, a little more like All in the Family than the phony Thanksgiving dinner scene that we talked about back at Thanksgiving. And this is about triggering. And the triggering is, to me, my analysis of it is, most people have not done the work of maturity and healing their relationship to their parents by the time they have children. And so the generations are very close. There's not an emphasis on maturity factors involving being a parent. Most of the maturity factors are when my career is good enough, I will then have children. When I've got enough money, I will have children. It's not about, have I done the internal reconciliation? Have I figured this all out? So we've got Mars moving through this pattern. It is going to be working up to Pholus. That's on 12/29. So that, to me, describes a kind of reactivity. The Sun is close behind Mars. They're going to be chasing each other. They're going to appear to be chasing each other in a conjunction that's exact around January 9th or 10th. So we've got this now. We've got a long conjunction of Mars. It's going to go well past January 9th or 10th, but it's applying up until then. It's a lot of heat and light being shined on this cluster of planets. And all these are issues that have, have limited viability in terms of who talks about them and what they're willing to say. And there is so much that is left unsaid. There is so much that is left, buried under the ground. There's various different skeletons in the closet. And I think this puts a lot of pressure on ordinary, normal waking life. Then people get together, and usually, in fact, I would say almost always, there's alcohol involved. Pholus cautions about that. Pholus talks about what happens under the influence of alcohol, particularly. I'm sure we could find instances of other substances involved. Alcohol has an especially, distinct feeling tone. Okay, so be aware of that. What do you do? I don't know. My suggestion for people with family at the holidays is either stick to the kids, stick to the pets, or hang out with the guys watching the game. You might not like football, but at least that creates a diversionary event. And people watching the game don't usually mix it up with each other. The game is they're projected, family symbolic conflict. All right, next aspect. Throughout today into tomorrow and so forth, Venus is square Neptune. So this is also cautionary. Anything square Neptune, when you hear the word square Neptune, you got to think, okay, what's the potential influence of alcohol here? But the thing with Venus square Neptune is that the one thing you can really say about it is that under the influence of Venus square Neptune, you are unlikely to know exactly what you're feeling. In fact, you're likely to be sure you know what you're feeling, but you're not right, and that means that you don't actually know. So that's happening too. Then Venus goes into Capricorn, and it too will work along the family Hunger Game pattern. I don't know when exactly it gets out to Ixion, but it enters Capricorn probably on Christmas Day. While it's doing that, while Venus is doing that, Juno is square Neptune. So Juno brings us into the territory of relationship expectations, jealousy, resentment, the bone of contention, the list, and Juno is square Neptune as well. And so whatever one may be feeling, thinking, or ruminating, it's likely to be wrong, like not grounded in fact or grounded in reality. For its part, Juno is getting a little itchy and scratchy because it's in aspect to Uranus in Taurus. And so we're in the last hurrah of things happening to Uranus in Taurus, because Uranus, I think in May, goes into Gemini, but we're still got Uranus retrograde and slow and powerful, and Juno makes a quincunx to it. And so that is what I would just describe it as, itchy and scratchy. And square Neptune at the same time. So there's going to be this real element of confusion involved. So the important thing is that you not be sure of your feelings, that your emotions not be the thing that tells you what you think is up. This is not the time to, you know, go with your gut. Okay. Next. Mercury is in Sag. It is just clearing this thing called the Great Attractor, this vastly, powerfully magnetic and gravitationally attractive, broadcasting on every frequency except visible light, which all galaxies around us are chasing at about 1,000,000 miles an hour. This is what it feels like. And Mercury is coming in for a 90-degree aspect to the third centaur, Nessus. Nessus is the centaur reputed as the bad boy. It is the one that contains all the memories of trauma, real or imagined, all sense of transgression, real or imagined, and the square. All of these squares, there's several, I'm going to have one last square coming in. All of these squares represent tension that needs somewhere to go. Needs somewhere to go. The tension can be anxiety. The tension can be guilt. The tension can be some form of conflict. It can be some form of urgency. It can be some sense of necessity. And usually where it goes is outward. Course in Miracles describes this. Can't tell you what page or what chapter, but it says basically that the dynamics of the ego are that the guilt, because I'm particularly concerned about guilt, and by the way, Capricorn is a sign very closely associated with the whole issue of guilt and obligation, but in terms of A Course in Miracles, it's saying the inwardly held guilt becomes so uncomfortable that the ego must project it onto some external subject so that it appears to be outside, so that it's an external dynamic, appears to be an external dynamic. The opposition is more of an actual external dynamic. There is an actual confrontation. You're actually looking across at someone else. With a square, the tension is internal, but then it is made to be external because it is so uncomfortable. So we got a lot of squares here. We've got Mercury square Nessus. We've got Venus square Neptune. We've got Juno square Neptune. So that's, you know, become a football fan. You read the Wikipedia page. If you're like me, you don't know what the difference between the first down and the quarterback. There must be a simple explanation. By the way, the actual football is actually four tries to go 10 yards. That's what the whole fuss is about. Four tries to go 10 yards. That's not great. Okay, one more square. This is one of the more, I think this is exciting. It is retrograde Jupiter in Cancer, which will be in Cancer through the end of June. I think it goes into Leo on July 1st. Jupiter and Cancer square Chiron. Both are retrograde. The square does not happen very often. The square will only happen every 3 or 4 years. Jupiter moves pretty quick. Now we're getting a long one because the station of Jupiter is holding that square pretty close. It's also square Eris. So we've got a number of things going on. There's always going to be an exaggeration or inflammation or expansion factor with Jupiter. And in this case, what it is focusing on is the Chiron-Eris conjunction. This square too has, the square of Jupiter to Chiron has tension. Usually, the tension is expressed as some form of activism, often. And the activism can be in a number of different forms. It can be activity too. The thing about the Chiron, Jupiter Chiron square is it really needs a purpose. It is deeply needing of a purpose. And when it finds one, it's really good at using it. Until it finds one, it can either just spin in circles or be like a rebel without a clue. Carlos Castaneda had this aspect. Now, I have learned a lot from this writer, but I would point out that there are questions about the veracity of the work. It doesn't render it invalid, but there are questions about the veracity of the work. And I would say that, you know, for example, using that as a kind of a model, you want to make sure that you're not faking it till you make it under the influence of this one. There's an alternative to faking it till you make it, which is be a novice. Be a beginner. Don't fake. Learn. Learn, learn, learn. And the outward projection is some form of work product. So that's the thing to measure. Now, I would note that this square from Jupiter to Chiron is so significant because it highlights the existence of the Chiron-Eris conjunction that's been approaching for years, going on all of 2025. It's going to peak on what day? March something. Let's see if we can. I think something like March 18th. A lot happens during Pisces time 2026. Let's just get a quick look on. Get a quick look at that Chiron. I'm recording up in up near my bedroom where I'm recording on a computer that actually has astrology software on it. My more advanced computer does not have astrology software on it, because the software went out of business in 2019. Got to use a 2019 operating system. And I've got to use, so what am I using? About the smack. I am kind of trapped in amber on Mojave. Anyway, the date of this is March 19th. On February 20th, that's at the end of Pisces. February 20th, the beginning of Pisces, is the Saturn-Neptune conjunction in the first degree of Aries. A lot happening in Aries. Let me end with a little discussion of that. We are pretty much seeing, as an open topic of conversation, all kinds of weird stuff. We're seeing pretty much almost anything, except all the things that all this activity in Aries represents, which is the actual challenging, often painful, often difficult, often very internal and private, often fraught with challenges, experience of what I call, I use an old term, I don't quite remember, I looked at the origins of it up, self-actualization, the realization of yourself, the sense of becoming, the implication is you're becoming someone who you were already, you're revealing something deeper down that was already there, or you're allowing a certain potential that you possess to flourish. We don't talk about that now. Everything is all potential is seen as external. Well, Chiron-Eris conjunction is calling the question of the existence of the interior, private self, private life, and the inner being. And these things sound familiar. You're probably sure you know what I'm talking about in some sense. I don't know. Maybe some people don't know. Most people don't actually remember their pre-digital experience of their internal self, of their inner being. And people who are born into the digital environment have a whole different concept of self, which lacks most of the interior quality that the prior sense of self associated with print literacy, creating the inner being, the sense of the inner being, the individual self. This people had this in the past. They were very special people who had this in the past. It was not an ordinary thing talked about or experienced or written about widely. Certain authors, so Walt Whitman, if you read Walt Whitman, mid-19th century, you realize, oh, here's a guy who knows who he is. That's a very distinctive thing about Walt Whitman, worth taking a look at Walt Whitman. He knows who he is. He's on a quest for who he is. This is a new concept to the human experience, and very soon after, it is completely unraveled by what I'm describing as the, let's say, synchronous effect, not the cause and effect, but the synchronous effect of Eris in Aries, which comes in the mid-1920s at the dawn of the radio era. And we had that inner sense that the inner Walt Whitman, the inner Emily Dickinson, unraveled overnight by being subjected to all of this mass communication, where suddenly it wasn't even tribal. The human tribes were pretty small in the hunting gathering days, to 20, 30 people maybe. I've read, how do they even know? But I have read that they were small. They were not like villages and towns and cities and counties and things, countries that were small. Now the tribes are, first of all, they're phony. Second, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, countries, whole countries are acting like tribes. Huh. Okay, interesting. Well, what's Chiron doing in the mix? Well, when Chiron gets into the mix, the opposite principle starts to hold. Chiron is very effective at driving individuation, at driving your awareness of your experience as apart from everyone else's. The sign Aries is a primary sign in everyone's life. It doesn't matter if you're Aries moon, Aries sun, Aries rising, Aries Chiron, they're the big ones, but the sign Aries is active in every single chart. This is one of my astrological theories that I write these readings based on, in part. Well, everyone's feeling this. And there is just this individual versus mass tribal collective insanity going on right now. And the thing with the mass tribe is that it is that thought framework is, to my ear, lacking any reference point in what is actually right and wrong for the individual, what is actually right and wrong for society. We're not asking this. Some people are individually, often their values go right back into tribal values, and that is largely an unconscious process. And that process is socially enforced. Most people will feign the belief in what they need to believe in order not to be rejected by their group. This is why being an individual in a family context is so tumultuous. There is a reason for it. Why, if you say, well, if you do anything, you're around a bunch of smokers, you quit smoking. You're around a bunch of beer drinkers, you stop drinking beer. You're around a bunch of beer drinkers and you start drinking bourbon. You're around a bunch of people who've never been within like 5 miles of a therapist's office, and you are getting results in your therapy process. And of course, the results involve seeing who these people around you are. And so you walk in the door and suddenly you see who they are. There's going to be a lot of pressure to not hold that idea of who you learned they were, and your buttons are easily available, accessible, and open to be pushed. And the people pushing them don't necessarily know that's what they're doing. They're just kind of being themselves. And then it has the effect of pushing buttons. Yours, which is triggering, which starts to run kind of those little Barbie doll chips, you know. Vengeance is mine. Let's go shopping. I love that prank. And Mike Bonanno, Igor Vamos of the Yes Men, was behind it. Out of the Barbie Liberation Organization grew the Yes Men, one of the most fantastic culture jamming things ever. I'll see if I can find the YouTube of the Yes Men Fix the World, just so you can experience some of the fun of the like anti-corporate antics of the Yes Men, which I don't think you could do anymore. I don't think it would even be noticed. Case in point, in 1993, you had people wringing their hands and saying, what? We're switching the voices and iconic dolls. What could possibly be next? Oh, and now, well, maybe it's not next, but soon on the heels of the same technology, large language models inducing teenagers not only to commit suicide, but to not alert their parents that they're in distress, et cetera, et cetera. And we're not furious about this. We're not up in arms. We are not rebelling. We're thinking, oh, meh. So I bought my 18-year-old kid a GPS device, and it told her to drive off of a bridge. Immediately make a sharp right turn when you see that landmark. Oh, the car's in the river, and nobody cares. Yeah, they would care about that. They would care. Sheriff would be involved. State DMV would be involved. Traffic safety board. All right. So it's a snow flurrying day here in Greene County, and ground, there's no more snow cover on it. I assume there'll be some more. I am laying low and working on my writing project. And the different thing I'm doing this year is I am not pushing to meet a deadline. I will get it to you pretty soon. But I am dropping other writing. I'm not tying up my copy team. I'm not having to stop and cool down one thing and warm up another and write that and finish that and stop the copy team from working and said, I'm just going to get through these. I'm up to the seventh one. I'm just about done with the Cancer reading. I went in interesting order this year. I started with Sagittarius. Then I went Sag, Scorpio, Aries. So I went Jupiter, Mars, Mars in terms of rulership. Then Venus, Venus. That was Libra and Taurus. And then Sun, Moon. That's Leo and Cancer. And then my next project is going to be the two Mercury-ruled signs, and I'm almost done. So till then, I am, living in thick wool socks and leggings and my SUNY Buffalo sweatshirt. And I've got some sweet potatoes and squash roasting on the frying pan downstairs. And I might check in again a little bit later in the week. Not planning a Planet Waves FM program. If I do one, it's going to be a short edition, just to say hello. So possibly, if I get the itch on Friday evening and I've got my writing done, I'll probably do it. But I'm not going to do the whole production. It's just too many steps, and it's a big psychic energy burn. And I am eager to get these readings in your hands. Inner light, inner peace. And one last thing: the whole year, the news of this year has been dominated by using LLMs to cheat at homework. The use of LLMs by college professors to grade papers. Finding out that the professors are cheating on grading the papers as much as the students are cheating on writing the papers. Now we've reduced education to a piece of paper. Yes, the 3.0 grade point average from Siena is better than a 4.0 grade point average master's degree from SUNY Albany. Yeah, so it's all about buying your sheet of paper now. We've completely unmasked this. But as I sit here and write these things, and the way I've done it is in October and November, I put in a first draft to all 12 signs. I focused one type of chapter. These readings are long enough to have chapters. So I focused one particular chapter for each of the readings, the inventory of what's going on in your sign, something I've never done before. I've referenced it, but I've never made a focused description with a coherent theory consistent through all 12 readings for all the signs and rising signs. So I did that. Then I come back to them, and this is now, a month and a half later, and see what I've left myself. What, where was I on the day that I finished that part and moved on to the next one? So I started with doing the signs that were the least developed. I picked the ones that had the shortest and what seemed to me the most incomplete writing job. And I did those first. And work through all those, and now I'm doing ones that are quite well developed to coast a little bit, and then, but what I have to do is I have to read through what I've written. I have a second file open where I dump things out. I cut whole swaths out. Those are called outtakes. I have collections of outtakes, sometimes in the thousands of words. No, that's not going in. Oh, I said that twice. Oh, wait, I'm saying this better now. Let's take the old version. Let's put that in outtakes. So it's this careful process. It's this layering process. And I read it, and I reread it, and I sleep on it, and I come back to it. I read it again. Like, that line is missing. I'll remember something that I didn't say. They're all going to three professional readers. One's a novelist, Lisa York. So she got the Aries one. She said, are you sure you mean that? Oh, she's perceptive. So it's like, yeah, I used the wrong word. If I use the right word, I get much more detail in my interpretation. So not only am I writing these and doing them as not only thoughtfully, but as working in this layered method, but I've got three really good readers going over them. They all know astrology. Even Alison Ogden, who's not an astrologer, for example, she is the proofreader on the COVID chronology. Deserves a Grammy and a couple of Oscars for that, a Nobel Prize, for editing meticulous little teeny problems out of a 200-page document. She's pretty good at astrology. And then Elizabeth Shepherd, I would say qualified astrologer. And Lisa York, probably quite close to qualified astrologer. So that's what we got going on. And so these are the only thing of their kind. And here in this year of AI writing term papers, of people cheating in their writing, well, I can see why you would want this thing to just kind of spew out some garbage that sort of sounds good but goes nowhere. Because if you do it the right way, it takes a lot of work. You got to keep reading and rewriting and rereading. And then editing and smoothing it out. And then you send it around to human beings. Huh. There was a... I got hold of an AI content checker. My one and only time using it. And I thought, well, just for laughs, let's just put in the Aries horoscope. The Aries monthly horoscope for December. I dropped in a chunk of that. Pushed the button. Boom, green light comes on. 100% confident that this is written by an actual human. And if AI says it, it must be true. All right, I'm going to sign off for now. Happy birthday from the Barbie Liberation Front. And please don't give your kid AI toys. You don't want them plugging into Grok. They plug directly into Grok. Starting to write about the doll explaining to the child how to make a bomb. They will tell you how to light matches. They will tell you where to find bleach. The toys will tell you. This is why I'm jumping up and down about this. If a kid says, how do I light matches? The thing will tell it. Where do I find the bleach? Yeah. This great 5-year-old. Where do I find the bleach? Good. No, not good. Okay. So anyway... happy Mary. I will be reachable kind of continuously if you feel like dropping me an ODFC, planetwaves.net, and signing off from Greene County at 12:52 on Tuesday afternoon. Lots of love, and bye for now.